There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal.
Welcome to the No Mere Mortals Cover to Cover series. The Cover to Cover series is a chronological journey through the moments in the Bible centered on the main character of Jesus Christ. Currently, No Mere Mortal is a personal project of obedience to the Lord. My hope is that the content in this series will help you know God's Word, and by doing so, you will know God's love for you. Judges 14:4 says, "But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel." Let's pray. And God, we thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, we just pray as we come before you, we would come to you with open hearts, open minds. And Lord, that we would experience you by your spirit through your word. Again, as we always pray, to know you more and so that we could become more like you. In your son's name, amen. So where we were last time in this time of the judges is we were looking at Samuel. And when Samuel was born and being dropped off at the tabernacle, and we saw that when his mom was leaving him there, that he was about 3 to 4 years old. So now, at that same time when we were looking at that, we had Samson, when we had left him, he was about 13, 14 years old, you know, kind of surveying the land, could see what was going on. The Lord had begun to beat on his heart against the Philistines. And so now what I want you guys to do as we come to chapter 14 is dial the clock ahead about 5 years from where we left Samuel, where we left Samson. So Samson is right now about anywhere from about 18 to 20 years old. All right. And so as we pick up verse 1 of 14 says, "Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, 'I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife.' Then his father and mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?'" Please understand, this is not a racial comment. This has nothing to do with him being, with Samson's dad being racist against another group of people. This had everything to do, and the reason why he brought up the circumcision is he's saying, you're choosing to marry somebody who is outside of a covenant relationship with God. And so it has everything to do with that, is that right here he's saying you're choosing not only to go outside the covenant, but you're choosing a people who literally have their foot to our throat. But again, as we look at this uncovenant relationship mix, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 16, it says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God." Now, there's this concept out there. And again, I'm not, if you're in this situation, I'm not trying to point anything on you, but I do want to bring this up, is that right here what we see scripture clearly speaking against is this concept of like missionary dating, where you go, well, I'm going to enter into a close relationship with this person who's outside of the covenant relationship with God in hopes that they would someday be in that. And actually scripture is saying, no, you're going about it the wrong way. You should be so wrapped in Jesus that the person has to get through Christ to get to you. And again, I get that might mean in situations you're going, wait, are you saying that I have to forego this personal relationship with this person? Now, again, I'm not talking about friendship. We're not talking about acquaintance. We're talking about, again, this is somebody you're going, hey, I'm looking to really invest my life in. And what scripture is saying is going, hey, you can't mix light and darkness. And when you're trying to do that, it will always end in hurt and pain. And here comes a bigger thing. What just happens is because if you tell somebody you believe that this is God's word, you believe every word of it, then what you just read says that that's not something that you're supposed to be doing as a believer. And what you just told that person is, I don't really care what God's word says. That actually I'm willing to be a hypocrite. And so from the beginning of the relationship, that's what is always going to be sitting there. They don't really take that stuff serious. And if they say they do, they don't really live it. And we kind of looked at hypocrisy a bit last week. But again, I want to challenge that, yeah, you might forego that personal relationship with them. But what if in doing that, they see Christ through you and they come to have a personal relationship with him? Now, again, I just would challenge to think of the opposite there, that if you decide to attempt this missionary dating, that what you've stepped into is start a relationship with somebody who's already saying, so you clearly don't really believe what this thing says, or you're at least willing to break the rules. And I wonder what they're saying. I wonder what else I can get them to break on. Let's continue going on. It says, and Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. The Hebrew there actually is saying that she is right in my eye. If you guys remember, this whole time of the judges, what we've been saying is that it's characterized this entire time that everybody was doing what was right in their own eye. Well, Samson has just acclimated to the culture. He's saying, yeah, Dad, I know what you're saying. No respect for the covenant that he has had since he was born. No respect for his parents. He says, I don't care about all of that. I want what I want. This is right in my eye. And he's basing this entire relationship on what he sees. Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Job chapter 31, Job says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. And so again, what we're seeing is Samson, it's what he's putting in front of his face. It starts there. And we're going to see as we move through tonight, just these different moments in Samson's life. And we're starting right here, where he did not care about God's word. He didn't care about what his parents were saying. It was just what he had been looking at. Matthew chapter 6 gives this warning. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Again, scripture making it clear. What you put in front of your face will make its way into your heart. That's why Proverbs, again, tells us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So again, as we start tonight and we're looking at Samson, we're looking at this man who has this covenant put on him, called to live to. God's word is he disregards that, and it started with what he put in front of his face. Verse 4 says, but his father and mother did not know that it was the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And so what we're seeing here is, yes, Samson is not taking his call by God serious. He's not taking God's word serious. But what we see is that God goes, yeah, but I'm still at work here. God still has a plan to use this. And so as we see this, you know, it very much reminds me, and if you guys don't know, and I'm not going to go into great detail here, but if you know my testimony, if you guys know how I ended up even out here in Oakdale, is because I was a guy out in Houston. And again, ladies, I mean, no offense. This was several years ago, but no offense. Coming from Houston, I was told, hey, if you want to get an easy girl, head out to Oakdale and go to the youth groups. Well, my senior year, time was clicking, so I knew of a youth group. I was raised in church, so I knew how to do the talk. And so I went, met a girl, invited her to prom. I had everything set. I had my plan ready to go. Again, knew the talk, raised in church. Parents ran the children's program. There was only one thing I didn't account for in my plan. See, this girl that I invited to prom, she was in love with somebody else and wouldn't stop talking about him. But that person ended up being Jesus. She wouldn't stop talking about Jesus, and she talked about him in a way I'd never known. Though I was raised in church, she talked about having this personal relationship, and I was going, if nothing else, I don't know what's going on. Now, I say all of that to go, does that mean that I wasn't disobedient? Does that mean that my motives were, you know, good? No. And don't hear it all tonight when it says that God says, no, I work and move, even in the affairs of those who are being disobedient, that doesn't give us carte blanche to go, well, then I can do whatever I want. I continue to sin, and God's just going to work it out. In fact, Paul will say in the book of Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Recognizing what sin will always do. Always. It will hurt you. It will hurt the people you care about who are around you. And we should pause for a moment and really take this for those who are called by the name of Christ to recognize that our sin hurts his heart. So let's just sit with that for a bit as we continue on. It says, verse 5, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, again, there's something ironic happening here. If you guys remember when we went through Samson, part of the vow that he was on him since the womb was this Nazarite vow. And part of that Nazarite vow is you don't eat from the vine, you don't drink from the vine. So let me ask you, why is he down in a vineyard? And I want you to watch what's happening already with this guy. It started with, who cares? It's just something I'm looking at. Now he's moved into an area he shouldn't be. It's okay. I can go to that party. I can go to that place. I'm not going to do what those other people are doing there. Yeah, not yet. Give it time. Hang out in that area long enough and see what goes down. Because what we're seeing here is this, again, a guy who didn't take serious what he set before his eye, and now he's hanging out in a place he has no business being. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You must understand that so many people think, no, it's okay. I can go to that place. I can go to that party. I can be in that situation. I've got God with me, and I'll be able to withstand the temptation. That's not how Scripture says it goes. See, it says actually the first thing you're supposed to do is draw near to God, then resist the devil. You don't have the strength to resist that. You don't have it in you. All we have, all power that we have, all strength that we have is not us, but Christ in us. And sometimes we think that, you know, I'm just going to take him into this situation. And yet again, what we need to recognize is that it's first to draw near to God. That gives us the strength to actually resist those temptations. It says, now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. Did you catch what just happened? And this, again, I want you guys to catch this pattern as we're going through. He didn't care what he set before his eyes. He ended up hanging at a place he didn't belong. And it was at that moment, the enemy attacks. That moment. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But how do you find yourself in that spot? It starts with not caring what you put in front of your face. I'm just looking. Then you end up hanging out in places you have no business being. Places that you know really is really even against what God would want me to be doing. And it's at that moment, that's the moment the enemy strikes. Verse 6 gives us this amazing promise of the faithfulness of God. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Guys, I don't know about you, but what I read there, Samson just freaked himself out. That he's in a place he knows it doesn't belong. This lion jumps at him, and at some point, he somehow has now gotten behind this lion, and it's like he grabs it by the back legs in the same way you see them prep a goat where they hang it up and slice it down and get it ready. Samson grabs this lion and rips this thing in two. And he doesn't even tell anyone. Who doesn't brag on that? Somebody who just goes, what just happened? Again, was it him? Let's not get mistaken here. This isn't Arnold. This is a moment where this guy has the Spirit of God move on his life. And that's where the strength came from. That's why 2 Corinthians reminds us, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Recognize where our power comes from. Again, it wasn't his strength, it wasn't his work, it was the Spirit of God who moved upon him. God's faithfulness, even when he wasn't. Verse 7 says, and he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. So it's been enough time. It's been some while, because as he walks along, he this it's been long enough for the lion's carcass to actually have honey from bees grow inside of it. And I don't know what's going through this dude's head. Dead lion with bees in it, and he goes, I gotta get me some of that. And he reaches in there and just starts eating on it. But what a picture here of, again, the character of this guy. And again, a warning to us. How many are reaching in to the place that's forbidden to take hold of something sweet? Because as a Nazirite, he wasn't supposed to touch anything dead. So he's hanging out in the place of the vine, a place he doesn't belong. And even when the Lord gives him success, he goes back to the place where there was failure. And even though he's not supposed to touch a dead thing, he ends up reaching into that place that's forbidden by God for his life, for his strength, for his prosperity, for something sweet. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, maybe you guys have heard this phrase, and I know it gets thrown around a lot, and I don't want to harp on it too long. We've heard the phrase as we think about this honey in a dead lion carcass. Maybe you guys have heard, love is love. Okay. Water is water. You don't drink from the toilet. Honey's honey. Yeah, but you know that Samson knows that something's off. Because look what happens. It says, so he went down to the, it says, it did not tell his parents. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some of it to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Why? Because he knows it's nasty. Not only does he know it's nasty, nobody, again, where'd you get that honeycomb? From the dead lion. Ooh, can I have a bite of that? No. Instead, he not only knows it's not something somebody would want, what he knows is he'd have to admit to his parents he broke the vow. And that is another thing that sin does. It makes you retreat into a place where you think secret. It means you already, and this is what I mean by sin always will hurt you and those you care. Because by this decision, he has now created separation between the people who love him the most in this world. He has now retreated and hiding things from his parents. A relationship break happens because he feels he's got to hide something. And again, I just want you guys to, as we see this in Samson, is to recognize for whatever reason, when we know the reason, the world is trying so hard right now to separate you guys from your parents. And I get it. I know not every home is the same. And I understand that. But I want you to see that though there are brokenness in this world, that when the world is trying to divide you from your parents, that should be a red flag. Why? Because that is the God-designed structure that will give you the most strength. We saw it when we looked at Moses. We've seen it now as we've looked at Samson's life and Samuel's life. God's design against a rebellious culture is the family unit. And right here, by Samson's selfishness and sin, he has now gone to a place where he's broken relationship because he's trying to hide things from them. Verse 10, so his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, for the young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. So during this time and in ancient Israel, they would do these like week long. In fact, sometimes they still to some degree have this, but like their wedding ceremonies were like a whole week long. And you would have a party for a week, and then on the seventh day is when they would consummate the marriage. So it's like, yeah, you're married, but you're not like fully married. It's like you've gone through most of the ceremonial stuff, but it wasn't done at that moment. And so, but he's down in enemy territory. He didn't even bring, other than his parents, friends with him. Because his best man, we're going to find, it's not even his own best man. It's a Philistine. So he's surrounded by the enemy. Again, he wasn't being disciplined in what he put in front of his face. He was hanging out places that he had no business being. That's where the enemy attacked. Then the Lord brings victory, and he goes back into that place to reach into what was forbidden for a taste of honey. And now he finds himself, what should be the happiest moment of any man's life, surrounded by the enemy. Now, I'm going to also put this out as we move through the rest of this fairly quickly. This guy needed some premarital counseling. He was not ready to get married. And we're gonna see it as we move through. Just know that. He's at his wedding. It says, and Samson said to them, let me pose this riddle to you. Again, guys, He's not even taking the situation serious. He is surrounded by the enemy, and he's playing around with the enemy. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain to me, you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose a riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. Now, I don't know about you guys. I like riddles. My daughter has these joke books, and we'll sit there and try and do these different riddles. It's a lot of fun. This is not a riddle. This is like a little secret he has in his life, and he's totally playing his own game. What's the riddle? It's a secret of his life he's told nobody. This is something that is a moment in Samson's life that is a complete secret that he thinks nobody knows. And it says, now for 3 days, they could not explain the riddle. And I need to put this in front of you guys as we move through. What happens in this moment is you're going to be reading through in this section two parallel stories. Remember, it's a week-long feast. At the beginning of this, he poses a riddle. Well, for the 7 days, his soon-to-be wife, she wants to know the answer to the riddle too. And so she keeps asking him day after day, day after day, day after day. Hey, what's the answer to the riddle? What's the answer to the riddle? For 7 days, she's asking him this. And we're also going to read that basically what happens is these guys are trying to figure out the riddle. It says for 3 days, they couldn't. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Man, did that escalate quickly. But again, please pay attention. Samson was not taking the situation seriously. And when you play around with the enemy, it always leads to somebody getting burned. And so Samson, again, not taking the situation seriously, and that escalates. And just to see the character of these people. If you're going to cost us money, we're going to burn your whole house down. It says, have you not invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that so? So they think this whole thing was a setup between Samson and his soon-to-be wife to try and steal from these guys. It says, then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You don't love me. You oppose this riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And so what is Samson's wife, soon-to-be wife, doing is she goes right into the emotional manipulation. She goes right into this tactic. And why? And I want you guys to really ask yourselves a real question. Why? Why is she doing that? And before we try and jump on her and try and make her into some villain, why is she going to emotional manipulation? But she doesn't trust the hypocrite she's supposed to get married to. She sees a man who she knows, you don't actually take what you say seriously. You don't walk the walk that you're talking. So she doesn't trust him. So she thinks the only way that she can get what she needs is to manipulate. And just imagine for a moment, guys. Imagine, again, the man who ripped a lion in half. Imagine if he had lived a life consistent that made his soon-to-be wife feel like she could trust him so that she could come to him and say, you know these guys who came to this wedding, probably uninvited? They just threatened to burn me and my whole house down. What do you think happens in that situation? This is, again, remember, God was saying, I've got a bullseye on the Philistines. They have their foot to the throat of the apple of my eye, the people of Israel. God was looking for somebody to step up to knock them out. And Samson, by obedience, could have brought community and communion with his wife, built a situation where she trusted him. And in that moment, she comes to him and says, they want to burn us with fire. Well, the guy who ripped a lion in half, imagine what the Lord would do in that situation. But instead, because he didn't take God's word seriously, because he's been disobedient, because it's led to this, again, sin always hurts those around us. And now the relationship that should be the most important one to him starts off broken because it has no trust. And again, the guy needed premarital counseling. Ugh. He says to her, look, I haven't explained it to my father and my mother, so should I explain it to you? Sounds like a great bedrock for a relationship to be marriage. I haven't even talked to my mom and dad about this. Why should I tell you? All right. Now she had wept on him the 7 days while the feast lasted, and it happened on the seventh day that he told her because she pressed him so much. So after 7 days of her whining and whining and whining about it, manipulating, the guy breaks. And I'll just tell you this. There's something so ironic here. This is the man who splits lions in half. Samson, the one that we all, is almost up there with the mythos of, you know, someone, you know, like Hercules. Even that guy can't take a woman crying. I'm done. He said, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do it. It freaks guys out. They can't. I don't know what to do with this. So he explained the riddle to her. Now again, remember what this riddle was. This riddle was something he thought was a secret that nobody else knew. And as we land here tonight, I do want to remind us, there is no such thing as a secret sin. See, Samson thought this was a secret that only he knew. And I want us to understand that we have a Lord who says, everything is laid bare before me. I see it all. But I also want to encourage you guys, that same one who says, I see it, I know it, is the same one who says, I love you and I went to the cross for you. Knowing that. But understand that as the one who sees it all laid out bare, he's the same one who will tell Joseph, this is what Pharaoh's dream means. He's the same one who's going to tell Daniel, Daniel, this is what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, and this is what that means. Jesus is going to look right at these religious leaders and say, I see what's in your heart and I know what you're thinking. It says, so the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What's stronger than a lion? Again, the guy should not be getting married. His answer to them is, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. The guy just called his future wife a cow. I mean, just, he's not ready. Hasn't talked to mom and dad, so why should I talk to you? He finds out that she must have told a riddle, and if you hadn't talked to cow over there, you had no clue what was going on. Quality guy. Ladies, can I just put this out there, just as something, if you're ever watching a guy, this is a little side thing, but watch how they speak to their moms, because that's probably how they're going to speak to you. Just going to put that little thing out there. Gentlemen, just say this, watch how you speak, especially someday when you have a daughter, because the way you speak to your daughter, she's going to think that's normal, and probably how she's going to accept some guy talking. And if you ever ask, if I would not be okay with some guy talking to my daughter that way, then maybe we need to check how we're talking. Just throwing that out there. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon, about 25 miles south, and he killed 30 of their men and took their apparel and gave the changes of their clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. So the dude gets so mad about this whole riddle thing. Again, it's the seventh day he's supposed to consummate his wedding, and instead, he gets so mad, he goes and kills a bunch of Philistines, guilty because of their dominion over Israel. Then he runs and throws them the clothing. And instead of wising up, I need to get serious, this man boy runs home. Again, he's not ready for this. And he runs back home and he spends months at home. And we know this is that in that time that the father of the bride goes, I guess Samson's not coming back. And so he gives what should be Samson's wife to a different man. Verse 15, we're going to finish up here quick, but just let's get a little bit further. It says, after a while in the time of the wheat harvest, so this lets us know that it's been a couple months, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat, and he said, let me go to my wife, into her room. What a dude. Abandons her for months, and when he comes back, he's like, I'm ready for the physical part. Let's go. But her father would not permit him to go. And her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is she not? Again, I can't do this with some of these guys, these men. I have two daughters, and I don't know what dad would ever say this. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. It cracks me up with some of these guys. Here's Samson. I'm ready for my wife. Nope. I thought you hated her, so she's married off. But hey, the other one's way cuter. Thanks, Dad. But instead, he says, without saying anything, Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. So as we end there tonight, basically he looks at him, this whole scenario. Look at Samson. He says, you better wait to see what I do. And in this moment, let's just evaluate this guy's life who could be having a pity party right now. Unfair. My wife given away. You're not a victim here. But how did he get here? How did he get to a situation where his wife was given to another man? Well, let's rewind all the way back. It started with him not taking it serious and what he put in front of his eyes and undiscipline. And that undiscipline, what he put in front of his face went down into his heart. And what came out of his heart was then to move and to hang out in an area he had no business being. And then when the enemy attacked and the Lord brought victory, he returned to the place of that to reach into what was forbidden for something sweet. A man who over and over made decisions contrary to what God's word says. Please understand that God is not giving you this to make your life a bummer. He's saying because when you don't, what sin does is it breaks relationships. It will hurt you and you'll find yourself going, why is this happening? And if we could just step back for a moment and go, well, maybe if I look back and go, if you would have made that choice to follow the Lord and said, if you would have made that, how many moments did the Lord show faithfulness? This is a moment to turn around. And so again, as we end out this evening is just to understand that though this is a moment of a man who's living completely undisciplined, that God has a plan. And his ultimate plan is if he has to use this man-child to demolish those who would put a foot on the neck of his people, the apple of his eye, he will. But how much better would it have been for Samson and those in his immediate life if he would have lived a life according to what God had called him to do? To not let this woman feel like she was hated. To not feel that she had to emotionally manipulate, but could have seen a man who she said, you know what? I may not know your God. I may not believe all of this, but you do. What transformation that could have taken. So for, again, each one of us, as you live your lives out, is to recognize that's what we're being called to. We are called on a rescue mission to save those who are in opposition to God, to let them know, you are not the enemy. You're in bondage to an enemy that has his throat on your neck, but God has a plan to save. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, I just pray that, again, each one of us would recognize that even when we are not faithful, you are always faithful to your word. That if there's anyone here tonight, that if they're struggling with this walk, that they would recognize how it goes all the way back to making a covenant with our eyes, to guard our heart, Lord, to hide your word in our heart, that we would not sin against you, that we would not allow sin to affect and break relationships that are so meaningful, that ultimately bring us to a place of pain and hurt. Lord, that you would bring restoration and strength by your Spirit, yet not us, but Christ in us. In your Son's name, amen.
The Cover to Cover series is part of No Mere Mortal. The No Mere Mortal ethos derives from the biblically grounded and inspired work of C.S. Lewis in The Weight of Glory. You can find more No Mere Mortal content, including the Cover to Cover series, on our website at nomeremortal.org. Follow us on Twitter, Truth, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and most major podcasting services. Subscribe, follow, like, comment, leave a review, and share. The music you've heard has been provided by Sicko, that's C-I-K-K-0, and you can find him at YouTube at SickosBeatSuck797. My name is Bryce, and you are No Mere Mortal.